Well, you guys were singing great this morning. Thank you for that. It's a blessing to me already. We had a great breakfast this morning, a great pancake breakfast. I think we're going to change our name from Cornerstone Cafe to Cornerstone House of the Flying Pancake. It was pretty awesome. I love all the kids running around. It's amazing. Don't these kids bless your heart? I love it. They're over there plunking on that piano. Man, let's make them feel right at home here in the Lord's house. I am really happy to see all the kids here today. What we're going to do in just a few minutes, we are going to watch a drama, Christmas play, a drama, the one we did on First Fridays. Easter, Christmas, Easter. Get ahead of myself. Easter. It was so powerful and so amazing that I asked him, could we please do that on Sunday morning? And so I'm thrilled that you've come. Absolutely, you're going to love this. It's very cool. It's very powerful. And we wanted the whole family and everybody to be able to watch it. So it's great. So while they're getting dressed, you get to put up with me for just a few minutes. And what I'm going to do is read the Easter story to you so that you have some background into what we're talking about. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge. So that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. And they led him away to crucify him. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you'll see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. The idea of the resurrection is an absolutely central teaching to the Christian faith, to what we know as the Christian faith of the Bible, salvation, the church, the true church. The resurrection is indispensable. You really can't have God without the resurrection or without Jesus Christ. It's that important. It's that critical. In Romans chapter 1, speaking about Jesus, it says, "Concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans chapter 1 tells us the difference between Jesus being a man, a good teacher, a holy man, and being the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The difference, the defining moment for Jesus is the resurrection of the dead. He's just a good man outside of the resurrection. But the resurrection clearly shows him to be the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 says, "The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Believing in God isn't enough. Believing the story of Jesus isn't enough. We have to believe in our heart God raised him from the dead. That's how we're saved. The difference between believing in God and hearing the story and knowing it as a child and seeing the flannel graph, going to catechism or whatever else you've done, the whole difference lies in believing in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is writing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says about the resurrection. "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people the most to be pitied." But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule, every authority, and every power. If Jesus Christ hasn't been dead, hasn't been raised, everything we do is in vain. Our message, we lie about God, we lie about everything. A resurrection from the dead is absolutely critical to what we believe as a Christian. I know it's difficult for some to believe that a human being actually rose from the dead, and it can be very, very troubling. So we watch this drama. I hope you'll just think through it a little bit deeper. Pilate and his wife seem to be very troubled about this resurrection.
You were up all night again, weren't you?
2 nights now. I haven't slept. His words echo in my mind.
He's dead now. Can't we just forget about him?
Infernal man. Dead since Friday. Why can't he just leave me alone?
Why didn't you just leave him alone?
Don't give me that "don't say I didn't warn you" speech. Not now, not ever.
I knew from my dreams. I knew you should have nothing to do with that man. And I did warn you.
You don't understand the pressure I was under. You don't know what these Jewish leaders were saying. Besides, the political ramifications would have been too great.
So you just gave in to their demands.
I did not give in. Caesar's appointed governor does not yield to any except Caesar himself. These Judeans have no authority over me.
I know, Pontius. I just don't understand why you sentenced him to death.
He posed a threat to Caesar's authority.
Do you really believe that?
He said he was a king.
You said he was a king, the king of the Jews.
I know what I said. And I know what he said.
And did he speak the truth?
Truth. What is truth?
What do you mean, what is truth? You spoke to the man. You looked into his eyes. You tell me.
The truth is, I ordered that he be beaten.
That's not what I meant.
I agree that he should be crucified. This Jesus of Nazareth, in whom I could find no fault.
Well, that's what's wrong. You feel guilty, don't you?
You know me better than that, Claudia. What do I care for a simple Jewish offender?
You care enough not to sleep for 2 nights.
I am innocent of that man's blood.
Oh, Punch.
Excuse the intrusion, sir. I bring news. Troubling news.
Troubling news. What other kind of news do I ever get in this insignificant backwater of our mighty empire?
Concerns a prisoner, sir. We crucified on Friday a Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus. What of him?
His body, sir. It is missing. The tomb is empty.
Oh.
Those Jewish dogs, they stoop to grave robbing now?
Impossible!
Indeed, sir. We have a squadron of men guarding the tomb just in case of an attempt to steal the body.
You expected something like this to happen, didn't you?
The Jewish leaders were afraid the disciples might try to steal the body.
But why on earth would they want to do that?
This Jesus of Nazareth claimed he'd rise again from the dead.
What?
Jewish leaders anticipated he might try to steal the body.
Well, That worked well, didn't it? Explain to me, centurion, how a ragtag bunch of religious maniacs were able to overpower Rome's finest armies.
There was no battle, sir. They all fell asleep.
For one Roman soldier to fall asleep is regrettable, but believable. For all of them to fall asleep at the same time is ridiculous. Are they aware of their punishment?
Indeed, sir. For falling asleep on duty, sir, the punishment is death.
And they were executed.
Not exactly.
What? Not executed? This is insubordination. I don't believe my soldiers all fell asleep at the same time. I don't believe they're telling the truth. They've experienced something that supersedes even their fear of death.
Don't say that.
Centurion, make sure they are suitably persuaded to tell the truth.
Consider it done.
Truth? What is truth?
I'm beginning to wonder.
But if the Roman soldiers are telling the truth and the disciples didn't steal the body, how do you explain the empty tomb?
Something he said.
Do you think maybe he survived the crucifixion and escaped himself?
No. He was beaten more badly than most. There was a lot of bloodshed. They even speared his side to make certain he was dead. He was very dead!
So how do we explain the empty tomb? Pontius, aren't you listening to me?
My kingdom is not of this world.
Now what are you talking about?
Well, that's what he said to me. My kingdom is not of this world.
It doesn't make any sense.
This is no ranting of a lunatic. I asked him where he was from, and he wouldn't tell me. I told him I had the power to kill him or to free him. Jesus of Nazareth. He said only God could give me that power. Claudia, I believed him.
You did.
I didn't want to kill him. I wanted to set him free.
I wish you had.
What news?
They have confessed, sir. The Jewish leaders bribed them to say disciples stole the body.
Oh, as I expected.
What a relief. So what really happened?
They say angels came down from heaven.
What?
What?
Broke the seal.
No.
Rolled away the stone. He came out.
More lies, Pontius. I can't take this anymore. You must torture them again. Make it stop.
They are saying he rose from the dead?
We have questioned each and every one of them separately. They have told the same story.
You are my most trusted soldier. Do you believe?
Even I am starting to believe in this Jesus.
Jesus of Nazareth. King of the Jews? Is he the truth? I found no fault in him. Of course, the Bible does not tell us what took place in Pilate's home. But we do know, however, that he struggled as to what he should do with Jesus. The Bible tells us in John 19, Jesus told Pilate, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. From that moment on, Pilate sought to release him. Pilate even washed his hands to try to suppress his guilt. What do we do with this Jesus? What do we do with this man that claimed to be the King of the Jews? You know, he even said he was the Son of God. Was he really who he said he was? And is he really who he says he is? And does it matter to me today? Oh, yes, it matters. It matters because my Bible tells me that one day each and every one of us will stand before a judgment seat of Christ. And we will answer for each and every sin we have ever committed. The most important question we can ask ourselves: have I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior? Have I asked Him into my heart? Today, we celebrate Easter. This very same Jesus whom Pilate had agreed to have crucified is not dead, but He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is the perfect Lamb of God, and only His blood can forgive all of your sin. And only He is worthy of our honor and our praise.
Did pretty good, don't you think? Besides just a performance, that's not really what we wanted to do. We wanted to drive home a point, and I think this drama brings it out pretty clearly. As I've pastored and I talk about my faith to various people, there really are three kinds of people that I find. One, certainly, are people like me who believe absolutely this man, this Christ, rose from the dead. This human being walked out of that tomb. He is the Son of God, and I believe it without question, without doubt. Many of us believe that. On the other hand, there are some who go just the opposite way. Absolutely not. Human beings do not rise from the dead. No way, no how. Human beings that are dead do not get up and rise from the dead. I'll never believe that. There are those. There are also this third category, kind of like Pilate and Claudia. And in their heart, they ask themselves, did this guy really rise from the dead? Could this happen? Well, the evidence, would soldiers all fall asleep? Would they face death? Could this have happened? No. Some, like Claudia, just leave these people alone, stay away from them, don't go to church, just leave this alone, don't touch this, it's troubling. And then you have Pilate, and he seems to be troubled without end. In his heart, maybe, this voice just keeps saying, could this be? Could this be? If that's you, I just want to make ourselves welcome to you. Please, if you're a Pilate, if you're a Claudia, don't stay away. Don't run from this issue. We should be able to supply answers to this. If we believe it so strongly, if it is the central core issue of what we believe and live for, we should be able to have some answers. I want to invite all of you, wherever you find yourself, please come visit us. 10:30 Sunday mornings, Wednesday night at the cafe. We have supper and we have Bible study. We talk about it. No one is going to grab you by the collar and give you the hard sell. This is for you. This decision is yours. I can't make it for you. I can't persuade you. I can't sell you a good vacuum sweeper. This is your decision. It is all you. But you are so welcome here to come and look for your answers. You're welcome to come and worship the risen Savior with us. Please come and pursue this risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like to close us in a word of prayer. I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you for coming to breakfast, coming to this. It's been our pleasure. You have made this day wonderful for us by being here. So let me close in a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We pray to you, Lord. We pray to you because you're the risen Savior. You're alive. And Lord, I pray now your Spirit would go with us. You would speak deep into our heart and tell us what you want us to do. Lead us that we may glorify you, our King and our Savior and our Lord, the risen one, Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Easter.